Kaboom!
Hey, what's going on, folks? Ty here, Vintage Quarter Media. All right, so I wanted to cover something that was extremely popular early last year when I had a podcast around this topic, and I wanted to retouch on some things. So I think it's really applicable now. And that is this idea of how to run a profitable sports card business. And I want to first preface that by saying I realize there is a wide spectrum of people in the hobby, and a lot of them are just collectors, hobbyists. Some of them are just exclusively in it for the money. And then there's that group that's in the middle there, like myself, who I'm a relatively large collector, but at the same time, I like to profitably run my collection. In other words, when I can buy and sell things to fund my collection, it's important to me. It means I don't have to spend a lot of money out of the pocket to make this hobby work. But with that said, there are some things that I've learned over the past decade plus of just maneuvering inside the hobby, and especially the last 18 months where the hobby has shifted a lot. But I think it's important to kind of reset and make sure there's certain things that you're doing if you want to run a profitable hobby business to do. And so just take it with a grain of salt, right? I realize this is not for everybody, but I wanted to get this thing out there for people to talk about. Number one, I wanted to just say, first off, if you are entering this new to the hobby, or you are you've been in it for a little bit and you're trying to grow your business, your sports card business, let me first just say you need to know the audience. You need to understand the depth of the past within the hobby. It is the sports card collecting world is not something new the last 5 years. It has decades and decades, 100 plus years of history behind it. And it's really important when you're going into that to know that a lot of collectors that you're selling to, that you're potentially doing business with, are grizzly old veterans, and they know this hobby inside out, and you need to respect that to a certain degree, and not just inflict your new modern day collecting on them and expect them to adapt, because there really is a depth to this hobby that it's important for you to understand and know. And the best way to do that is honestly to go grab Beckett magazines, go grab sports card collecting books. There's plenty of them on Amazon. Go read certain blogs and get into the communities and start chatting. And you'll know, go talk to your local card shop owner, and you'll get a feel really quickly for just the complexity and the richness of the sports card hobby. It is much more than you would even expect to know when it comes to that surface level collecting. So your job, if you're wanting to run a business in the hobby, is to know that and to respect that and to find a way to not push those guys aside, but to embrace them and to figure out a way to bring them into your business. All right. Number two.
If you've been in the hobby for more than a day, then you know how fast the sports card market moves. There are now more options than ever to buy, sell, and research your cards. One of the most frustrating hurdles in the hobby is the fees when selling your cards. You know, those other popular marketplaces, the ones with their average seller transaction fee of 10%, the ones that don't have the seller's interest in mind. Wait, what? Who would do that? Well, hold on to your horses. No, not those horses. Welcome to The Card Flip, a place where we want to provide a simple alternative to buying and selling cards. No clutter, just you, graded cards, sealed wax, and the easiest of transactions. So what do you say? Are you in? Great! Welcome to The Card Flip, the seller's marketplace.
I would just say don't boil the ocean. That's a common piece of advice for really anything in life, but especially in sports cards, because there are a lot of variables. There's a lot of different things that would be really easy to look past and or try to learn everything and you end up knowing nothing. Your job, I feel like early on, is to figure out a couple things really, really well. Understand the cards that you really enjoy, understand the sets that you like, the brands that you like, and not just understand why you like them or why they're important, but understand the trends, the history, why they sell, how you can sell them. You know, if you're going to focus on just basketball cards, well, go learn the Prizm market. Go learn it. Go learn from 2012, the inception, all the way up till now, and learn it inside out. And it'll help you understand the way the NBA card market moves. If you want to do vintage, we'll go back and learn everything, you know, pre 2000, pre 99, probably pre 80s, and learn that market. Or again, just figure out what you want to know, figure out what you gravitate towards, and really, really learn it. And then once you conquer that and you feel like you're really comfortable, that'll be a great platform for you to go learn the next thing, whether it's another sport or it's another brand, another set, another aspect of the hobby. Maybe it's grading versus raw and all that good stuff. Just don't try to learn everything at once. If you can narrow down your focus, I think it'll do you a lot of good. Number three, focus on what you enjoy. Would be a massive tip of mine. And that, I think that's helpful, because when you start to go outside of the things that you enjoy, you tend to not care as much. When you're focusing on things you enjoy, whether that's a sport that you like the most, whether that's a player or a team you like the most, you tend to really get into the weeds and understand it. And that's helpful. And a lot of times, like the way I do things is I collect Mizzou Tiger players, Kansas City Royals players, and Chiefs players, and a lot of Nuggets players. But when those guys get traded, like I tend to sell those guys off. But I have a rich kind of understanding of that, those players and those teams that help me kind of gravitate towards other aspects of the hobby, because I've really invested myself in that. So focus on what you enjoy as much as you can, and let the other stuff that's happening around you kind of feed your excitement with the things that you enjoy. Number four, I would say don't approach this without a strategy. It's really easy to just think that you can fly by the seat of your pants in the hobby, and that is a recipe for disaster. Like a guaranteed recipe for disaster, because if you haven't noticed, especially this day and age, the sports card hobby is moving extremely fast. So one second you may think, well, prison football is the way to go, or 2020-21 hoops basketball is the way to go. I should go buy a bunch of those blaster boxes. And then you look 2 weeks later and the prices are down 30%. You need to build a strategy for what you want to do, so you don't get dragged in 100 different places. So whether that's focusing on, again, products, focusing on maybe the aspect of this sealed wax boxes, maybe it's buying raw and then grading, or buying PSA 9s and, you know, cracking and grading for 10s, or flipping 6 months down the line, you know, investing in prospects, whatever it is, right? I highly advise you write down that strategy. It doesn't have to be complex. Just, I'm going to be looking at these cards, I'm going to be looking at these brands, I'm going to be looking at this type of piece of the hobby. And my goal in all of this is to get here with it. And then you can kind of fill in the middle with how you're going to get there. So highly advise making sure you at least have a very high level strategy when it comes to being, you know, successful in the hobby. Number five, I would say be patient. it kind of goes to that previous point where this is a fast moving hobby, and the tendency is to get sucked into this idea that you need to move really, really fast. And sometimes you do need to be, you know, make quick decisions and flip things if it's not a good investment, or if you're not comfortable with it. But to be truly successful in the sports card world, you have to understand how to balance patience. And that means not rushing a lot of your decisions to do things. Now, you're going to need to step back and make decisions on how to hold players, or how long to hold players. You know, if you should send cards off to grading, and that can be frustrating this day and age because grading takes forever, right? But I think you'll be impressed with how much more success you'll have if you slowly chip away at this and have small wins each and every day, each and every week, versus trying to swoop in and make that great transaction and, you know, think that you're going to get rich really quick, because that is a absolute guarantee for you to fail in this hobby. It just will not work. Those types of things, those areas of the hobby where you think you can consistently get rich quick, you know, by flipping and doing things really fast. As you've seen probably in the in the sports car world, especially in the retail side, those avenues can close really fast, and you aren't in control of that. You know, Target may decide that if that's what you're doing, right, to go wait out and get wax, they may decide that you only get one box every time you come in, or they may know, pull certain inventory and you don't have inventory to sell. And if you're in there to flip, and you don't have that to flip anymore, all of a sudden your ability to be successful in the hobby is absolutely jeopardized. So my advice would be just be patient and learn how to build yourself, integrate yourself into the hobby with consistent, good transactions, good decisions. And I think you'll be much more impressed. Number six, I would say do not at all costs, do not let debt be a part of your strategy. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people close to me, people in the circle of Breaker Culture, Benchcore Media say, man, I put $2,000 in retail on my credit card. And, you know, within 4 to 6 weeks, you have to sell that because you're going to start paying interest and you're going to have that burden on your finances. And running this out of debt or with debt is a guarantee that you will be caught making irrational decisions that force you to not be patient. And that is the amount of losses you end up taking versus the amount of wins in the upside just doesn't work in your favor. So again, there's a lot of variables there and everyone's in different situations, but I highly recommend best of your ability, try to run early on with free cash flow. You know, don't strap yourself by putting things on credit cards or going out a bunch of debt. Try to do things within your means, within your cash budget, and you'll make better decisions. You'll make more profitable decisions. You'll end up enjoying it more. There'll be less stress. And at the end of the day, right, that's extremely important because you want to be able to sleep at night and also enjoy this hobby slash, you know, business that you're trying to run. And then number seven, lastly, do not underestimate the importance of customer service in this industry. That can be said in any industry. I understand that. But in the sports card world, you would think, right, with the, you know, the eBays of the world, you know, the cardflip.com, which I'm a big fan of, obviously, that you can just complete a transaction and be done with it. And in some cases that might be true, but if you go above and beyond, if you send a note to somebody after they, you know, they know they received it, you know, they received it and say, hey, got my item. I really appreciate your business. Let me know if you have any other questions. Would love to see you back. Or if you're a buyer and you receive an item from a seller and you just say, hey man, thanks for sending that on time. Really appreciate it. Look forward to buying from you again. You would not believe how far that goes in building long-term relationships and repeat transactions with customers. And the same can be said with, you know, if you're running a group break business or, you know, if you're doing things in the Facebook marketplace, wherever it is, if you go above and beyond with your customer service in this hobby, repeat transactions will be the lifeblood of your business. And I highly recommend you to just work that into your daily routine. And you'll be really impressed with the payoffs. And sometimes you might not see the payoffs immediate, but 3 months down the road, you'll start to see, and you can run these analytics on eBay if you do it, or the card flip. And you can start to see who's coming back for second and third purchases. And when you start to see 10, 15, 20, 25% of your transactions being done by repeat buyers, that only helps your cause. It only helps you build your base wider. It helps drive up prices. It helps give you more predictability in your forecasting. It's just really important for you. So I highly recommend just making sure you go above and beyond with your customer service in the sports card marketplace. Okay, so there you go. There's my 15 minutes of suggestions on how to work better within the hobby, whether it's just being a good collector and trying to sell off things, whether it's trying to, you know, profitably build your collection like I do, or whether it's just you wanting to be in the sports card business and you're trying to figure out how to do it. And maybe you don't come from a collecting background and you just want to insert yourself and do that. That's great. Welcome to the hobby. You're going to love the people in this hobby. I can guarantee it. But hopefully those seven tips help you kind of think through how to approach sports card marketplace.